Do you remember seeing a comic strip called Mama? Mama is written by Mel Lazarus, and there's one in which Mama's son, Francis, says, "Mama, I want to bring my new girlfriend by to meet you. Now, I want you to keep an open mind." And she goes, "Yes, dear. No, I really mean an open mind. Open mind." And he leaves to go get the girlfriend, and in the last frame, Mama's looking at the reader and says, "You'd be surprised how much prejudice you can cram into an open mind." Well, some sermons flow, and some sermons make you struggle to the very last minute. And this is one of those. In fact, I resorted to looking all the way back to 2009 when I preached on the same passages. And I had the same questions then as I do now. Why did Jesus say the Syrophoenician woman was one of the dogs? Why, when she was begging for healing for her little daughter, why was his first response no? And this keeps me up at night too. Her hunger for healing and justice for her daughter was so great, she would just take the crumbs under the table. Hungry for crumbs. What are you hungry for? Consolation? Health? Peace of mind? Hope? Security? Love? Justice? What would you kneel and beg for? And who is the person or the people or the concern that would move you to risk loss, perhaps humiliation, all for justice and love? Now, this passage in Mark comes after many examples of Jesus healing and teaching. Over and over, it says he's sought by the crowds. In fact, did you notice that it said he entered the house hoping no one was there? The story begins with Jesus, a Jew, leaving his homeland, Galilee, and crossing into Gentile territory. Maybe he was just exhausted from the crowds and needed a retreat, but we're told he couldn't escape notice. The Gentile woman found him, knelt at his feet, begged him to heal her young daughter, and his reply was, "Let the children be fed first. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." He was blunt. His mission was to the children of Israel. Sharing his gift with the Gentile dogs wouldn't be fair. It implies there just wasn't enough to go around. And yes, dogs. And it's important to know that in Middle Eastern culture, dogs aren't the friendly fur children that we have in our culture. This morning, someone who actually knows Arabic told me that a curse word is dog. So this was to be avoided, a big insult. It seems like what Jesus is expressing is, let the children of Israel be fed first, my family, my nation, my own first. Does this bother you as much as it bothers me? It's inconsistent with what we know of Jesus. How could he dole out healing and grace as though it's limited? How could he share in the prevailing prejudices of his time and culture? How could he be reluctant and then help only because she made a good argument, because she had chutzpah? This is unsettling. It might even be as unsettling as the protests initiated over 2 years ago by the NFL player Colin Kaepernick. He kneeled during the national anthem in order to draw attention to the racial prejudice fueling brutality in our justice system. He said then, "To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street, and people are getting paid leave. I am not looking for approval. I have to stand up for people that are oppressed. If they take football away, my endorsements from me, I know that I stood up for what is right. With or without the NFL's platform, I will continue to work for people because my platform is the people." So you may know that this week we heard Nike choose Colin Kaepernick to be the face of their new ad campaign. The text is, "Believe in something, even if it costs you everything." He is begging for crumbs of justice. And he's one in a long line of other Black leaders who use their status to bring attention to racial injustice. Jackie Robinson, the first Black athlete to play Major League Baseball, faced a similar situation. Writer James Baldwin wrote in 1965, "It comes as a great shock around the age of 5, 6, or 7 to discover that the flag to which you have pledged allegiance along with everybody else has not pledged allegiance to you. It comes as a great shock to see Gary Cooper killing off the Indians, and although you're rooting for Gary Cooper, the Indians are you." Kaepernick's protest met with such reaction that despite his track record as a very talented player, he has not been signed to play for 2 years. What raised the ire so much? Well, there's a writer based in Baltimore, Stacia Brown, who said this, "I can't recall a single public protest against American racism that wasn't criticized as unnecessary, poorly executed, or outright un-American. That knee-jerk opposition, that unwillingness to engage in the issue while criticizing the action of resistance, always proves the legitimacy of the claim." This week on social media, I saw a quote that said, "Imagine a country where a shoe ad is more controversial than a school shooting. Who would you kneel for? What in your life needs mercy, justice, and healing?" Well, whenever we read scripture, it's always helpful to read what comes next. That's certainly true in this case. So when the woman persisted, Jesus replied, "For saying that, your daughter is healed." The next story shows Jesus touching the ears of the man who's deaf and not able to speak, and Jesus says, "Be opened." That openness is not just on a physical level. The encounter with the woman helped to call Jesus in who he was meant to be, because then he goes to another pagan area and feeds not just one or two people, but 4,000 hungry people, probably all Gentiles. He takes a few loaves and fishes and feeds a multitude of hungry outsiders. All are fed, and there are baskets and baskets of leftover crumbs. So while we may be troubled by the very human reaction that Jesus had initially, his encounter led him to become who he was called to be, a healer and a messenger of hope to everyone, clean and unclean, male and female, Jew and Gentile, poor and rich, one in whom we see God's infinite mercy, abundant life. I kept wondering, how did I make this connection with abundance and prejudice? And then I thought, sometimes when we look at the places where the prejudices are festering, that's where we see fear of a lack, insufficiency, a belief there's not enough resources, not enough work, not enough food, not enough attention, not enough love. But with God, it's just the opposite. The more we love, the more love grows. It's like yeast hidden in the loaf that grows into a fragrant and abundant loaf. What in your life needs mercy and love? Most days I swim in a three-lane pool in the morning. The pool has room for three lanes, and each lane has room for two people. And if you know how to circle swim, you can actually get quite a few people in. But at this pool, most people don't swim in a circle. And so if you arrive and it's busy, you have to sit and wait a long time. I don't like that. Plus, I have this special need, sort of. I like to swim next to one of the walls because I'm very nearsighted, and without my glasses, swimming the wall gives me a guide. So recently, I got the timing just right, and there was the open spot next to the wall. I started swimming my laps, sharing the lane with this gentleman that I see almost every morning. And on about the fifth or sixth lap, as I swam back, I saw a woman sitting at the edge of the pool, and she was gesturing at me, and I was thinking, oh no. And she pointed out that the man I'd been swimming with had left. And would I mind moving into his spot so she could be next to the wall? I don't swim, she said. Well, I rolled my eyes mentally. Who chooses pool for exercise if you can't swim? And besides, I got there first, and I should be able to swim by my wall. Did I mention that I get a little bit possessive about my spot in the pool? So I grudgingly grumbled, yes, you can have the spot by the wall, but just so you know, I like that side too, because I'm nearsighted and I can't see very well, and it gives me a guide. So she started her water walking along the wall, and I was swimming along. And after a few minutes, we both were at one end at the same time, and I stopped and I said, I'm Laurie. And she said, I'm Lillian. That's my grandmother's name, Lillian. And she said, I asked the Lord to touch your eyes. Yes. Through her, the Lord touched my eyes, and I opened them, and I could see that my narrow need for routine and comfort was not the biggest picture. Be open. Healing comes in a variety of ways, but it's always rooted in God's infinite bounty. I've shared this before, but I want to share again this poem by David White. This is not the age of information. This is not the age of information. Forget the news, the radio, the blurred screen. This is a time of loaves and fishes. People are hungry, and one good word is bread for 1,000.